This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent today.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Oh, happy Friday, everybody. Oh, it's a good time. Survived the first week of the Trump administration. I believe we're all still here.
Yes.
No one's been deported?
No. Nope.
Okay, good.
I don't know. I'm in North Carolina right now.
That's right. You had the trip. Coming up on the show today, let's see what we got lined up for you. We got some Florida Corner for you. There's some crazy stuff going on there. A new thing called beer yoga. I'll tell you where that's exciting.
White people.
Yeah. But not garden variety white people. Explain. And speaking of white people, Ann Coulter's out talking about stuff again. And we'll talk about her, and probably not in glowing terms. Shocking. But before we get to all that, Kareem, you alluded to it earlier. You're traveling back to the homeland this week.
Yes. So I'm going to go watch my nephew's MMA fight Saturday at 7 o'clock back in... at the Raleigh Fairgrounds in North Carolina. I think he's like 7-1 or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. So if you could be listening to this anywhere. If you're in North Carolina listening, Raleigh Fairgrounds tomorrow night at 7.
Yes. Go see it.
Check it out.
Yes. He's about 5. He's about Jason's height.
So 5'2"?
5'5".
Something like that. Last guy he fought was like 6 foot.
Oh.
Yeah. It was interesting fight to watch.
You know what? But with MMA, that's not necessarily an advantage to be that much taller. Yes, you've got reach, but that can work against you, too.
Yeah, he got choked out, so yeah, it didn't work to his advantage at all.
But he's just like...
Yeah, once you get out underneath that long limb, you just rip right around and rip, choking him out.
Yeah.
You just got choked out. Well, have a good trip, my friend. Hopefully the weather is good for you.
Oh, man. It's a... Man, today would have been the better day to be there because it was like 68 today.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a good time to travel. Jason, weekend plans? What are you doing over at your boss's house this weekend?
That's funny.
Is he actually doing a little laundry?
No. We're going to a chili and wine festival.
Oh.
That stinks.
What's that?
That's going to be a lot of noxious gas. What is it?
Palo Alto? What's the one that's right across the bridge?
Which bridge?
Palo Alto. Yeah, the Golden Gate Bridge, the bridge.
Oh, Sausalito?
No, right after that. Like.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But I think it's Palo Alto. Or San Rafael. No, San Rafael.
Yeah, Palo Alto is the other end
of
the bay.
So San Rafael. No, it's San Rafael.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Marin County,
somewhere over there in that area.
Well, that sounds exciting. Leslie's coming back. Got back last night late. So unless Philadelphia killed her, we're going to try and get out and do some stuff this weekend.
Hopefully you didn't kill her.
I won't kill her, but I mean, you know, you just get worn down from a quick turnaround and the jet lag and all that stuff. The big thing this weekend is it's Royal Rumble weekend.
Oh, man, yeah, I used to love this weekend.
Royal Rumble weekend, and they're starting earlier, and there's a two-hour pre-show, and they've got, amongst other things, the Tag Team Championship match in the pre-show. So starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will be on my couch watching the WWE Network. Right straight through. If you need me, that's where I will be on Sunday. Because I'm not watching the Pro Bowl. Because the only reason to ever watch the Pro Bowl were the scenic shots of Hawaii. Because we're like, wow, that looks great. They're in Florida.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Pro Bowl weekend. You get to go to Orlando.
The kids love it.
Yeah. You know what the kids also love? Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii's pretty great.
Hawaii's awesome.
It's pretty great. I've only been the one time. I'm going to unequivocally say Hawaii, pretty great.
Pretty great.
Pretty great. Want to go back. Can't wait to.
Set your factor back to chill.
I am excited to go back to Hawaii. I want to go snorkeling again.
Awesome.
I want to go snorkeling again. And this time I'm going to put some grease in the mustache so that the water doesn't seep in. It was a good tip. Too bad it came after I had been snorkeling. Thank you, guide on the boat.
Oh, I had some down there in the...
No, she had nothing. nothing it's I say. Facebook message from the wife says, hey, I should hold on. I need to respond to this and go, hey, I'm working on a show here. She should know this. I'll do this right now. Hey, I'm in the middle of recording. oh, apparently her mom has texted asking if she wins a trip to the Super Bowl if we want it. in Houston, maybe.
No, it's not maybe. Just say yes. Just say yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
She's like, yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. It drives her crazy when I do that.
Oh.
Because I'm always like, well, what about this? What about this? And it's like, yes or no, yes or no.
Don't you love just poking your wife just a little bit like that?
Yes.
It's
yes,
like
I
one
do.
Of the best things
it's
about being
like,
married.
Why do you do that? Well, because exactly. You get up, because you get upset and it's kind of cute and funny. That's why.
Because I love you. You do the same thing to me. Don't act like you don't.
Right? Yeah, that's, I mean, you make fun of people you like in a certain way or other. So, yes, the Royal Rumble. By the way, and this made it to Fox Sports. So Bill Goldberg, who was huge in wrestling a while ago, he's come back. He's 50 now.
He was. He played football in Sacramento.
Yes, he did. And he also played for the Falcons for a brief time. But Bill Goldberg has this thing where he would bang his head on the locker room door before he would come out. I'm guessing that started with football when he had a helmet on. Mm. So on Monday Night Raw, he was coming out because he showed up at Survivor Series, had a match with Brock Lesnar, and he signed another 3-match deal. So he's going to be at the Royal Rumble. And he came out last night and he was bleeding from his forehead because when he banged his head on the door, he cut himself. So he's going out to the ring and he's got a promo to deliver. He's got this speech that he has to have memorized to go through. So he gets out there in the ring, and it's very distracting because he's got just this little trickle of blood coming from his forehead down to the bridge of his nose. It's not a lot. It's just enough to be distracting. And then he starts to do his thing. He gets about 4 words in, screws it up, starts again, gets a little further in, screws it up again. He's like, ah. It's amazing. So the lesson, kids, don't bang your head on the door.
Oh, go ahead. Is he known as Goldberg? Was that his?
Yeah, it's Goldberg.
Yeah, it's Goldberg. Okay.
Yeah, it's Bill Goldberg, but it's Goldberg.
Yeah, all right. he's a Stone Cold wannabe.
He came after Stone Cold. He was popular. He rose to prominence in WCW at the time when Stone Cold was the big thing in WWF.
Okay, yeah. So
just
like,
yeah. Stone Cold wasn't the first Stone Cold.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
But, I mean, like, he was still pretty.
Right. It, at the time, he was. But Bill Goldberg, bigger, more jacked up, and not as good of an actual wrestler.
And Nikita Koloff is the originator of both of those.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
The what was his name when he was in the WWF? What was, like, in the old days, the person, what was it?
No.
Stone Cold?
Nikita Koloff is the
that would be late 70s or early
80s. Late 70s or early 80s, yeah. But if you look at the two of them, that's
who was the guy that came out the Russian flag?
That was Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, Nikolai Volkov. Okay.
He came out with the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
You're looking for.
Sorry.
That's all right. No big deal.
But I remember Royal Rumble. I mean, I remember, like, I think the first one. Mm-hmm. 'Cause how many years is it now? What's this?
They've been around for a while.
Like, I remember it, like, Russ Francis, like the San Francisco 49er.
There's usually one weird celebrity that gets put in there. There's usually an old retired wrestler that shows up.
Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan were in this one. I used to watch it all the time. I mean, like, that was the...
Yeah, it's one of the big 4 pay-per-views of the year with WWE. Yeah. With WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. So that's the fun thing I'll be doing. you know what they don't do very much anymore? Door-to-door sales. This might be why. From Oklahoma, a homeowner allegedly kidnapped a door-to-door salesperson after holding the woman against her will for an hour and then chased after her in the nude. That's according to police reports. her name is Karen Rybitsky. She invited a salesperson into her home and then started ranting maniacally about religion and God. And the that's what the salesperson told police. On a couple of occasions, the salesperson tried to leave after becoming uncomfortable. But she told police that the woman would not let her out and blocked the door. When she finally did escape through the front door an hour after being held physically, the salesperson said Rybitsky's chased after her completely in the nude. She finally went back into the house, slammed the door. When the cops arrived, police say the woman opened the door and was still naked. There you go. She slammed the door twice in the officers' faces before they were able to take her into custody. She was taken into the Owosso Police Department, booked, and then transported to the Tulsa County Jail. And she has the happiest mugshot I have ever seen. She's happy.
She does look very happy.
Mm-hmm. And well, that almost looks like a Cubs jersey. So maybe it's still a World Series hangover.
Oh, man.
All right. So last show we mentioned briefly the women's marches on Saturday. In a lot of places, they didn't end up being marches because so many women showed up, it filled the entire parade route.
Yeah.
Can't march if your parade route's filled. Sorry. You're now a standing protest. And a lot of women were wearing the pink hats. They were the signature clothing at the Women's March on Washington. But right-wing pundit Ann Coulter saw something more sinister behind them. That's right. Brown shirts.
Oh, my God.
She tweeted, "Women's March protests, Democratic transfer of power, and the RTS of... 65 million Americans. Remember brown shirts? This is the Brown Blouses March." She's referring to the Nazi paramilitary group known as the SA. Serving the party, the stormtroopers carried out vicious attacks on political rivals, Jews, and other minorities before and after Adolf Hitler's rise to power. I think you might be stretching just a little bit.
Just a little, Jesus.
She is a vehement supporter of Donald Trump. She's gotten into trouble before when talking about Nazis, because who doesn't just love to talk about Nazis? Back in November, she faced a barrage of criticism after a tweet that seemed to defend the American Nazi Party on charges of violence. And in January, she was accused of dog whistling at white supremacists when she tweeted 14. She said that it indicated the number of days until President Trump was inaugurated. Others alleged it was a reference to a white power slogan. Oh, Ann Coulter.
For someone who loves black penis as much as he does, she plays that card.
She does whatever she has to do to get mentioned. And she does get mentioned a lot.
Oh, man.
Controversy sells, and she peddles it.
She's almost obsolete. Like, nobody really talks about her anymore.
Well, until she does something like this. Yeah. And that's really the only thing that gets her out there in front of it. But that's how she makes her living, by being ridiculous, and then she sells books. By the way, for everybody who tells me you need to read books, you know Ann Coulter has several books she's written. So dial it back about you need to read books.
They didn't say read Ann Coulter books. They said
No, you read books. Books. Books are where it's at. You know a lot of really crazy people write books? They write very hateful books. They're writing terrible books with bad ideas in them. So careful with all that book talk. You're flustered.
It just upsets me so much. Like, it was like it was a nonviolent march. Like, people turning it in, like, saying that it's a that it's about the transfer of power and that it's like anti-democratic, and like it's so upsetting to me.
It makes you want to have a good cry, doesn't it?
It makes me want to punch Nazis in the face. That's what it makes me want to do. I want to punch as many Nazis in the face as I can.
This is how we end up with Trump, is because people think that you vote once every 4 years, and that's all you vote on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're supposed to vote every 2 years.
And you're also supposed to, like, what I saw on Saturday and what I think people are missing from it is millions of citizens that want to show who's in power, that they are there and that they have a voice. Yeah. And that's all that, that's what that is. And when people, when that many people get together to have a voice, you just listen.
You should pay attention.
or you ignore them and move on with your day and send somebody out the next day to say alternative facts.
Yeah, no. You're not, look, you're not getting, that was 2 million, almost 3 million women.
Oh, across the country? Across the country, and around the world, all seven continents. Yeah. All seven continents, there were marches, and big ones in places that you wouldn't necessarily expect that to happen. Like, I saw some in Africa.
Yeah, you're not, yeah, that's not going away.
It's not, and like, no. If you think that they're just going to stop doing this.
By the way, do you think women are just going to forget and get over it?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with their work?
Yes.
And they had a nonviolent march. That is the most important part to think about what they did and what they accomplished with so many people.
Oh, and they were very organized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Incredibly organized.
Yeah. Their platform didn't include black women at first.
Well, I saw,
and they had a conversation with that woman, and that lady moved that up on the agenda because that's AM Joy.
Mm-hmm.
She was up there. She talked about it. They talked about it then. So that lets you know how organized they were.
Oh yeah,
and they are going. They're not. This wasn't they marched on Saturday and they're going away.
No,
they'll be back.
Yes.
Especially after this week.
They'll be everywhere.
Everywhere.
They're going to be everywhere and they're not going to be happy with you.
Yeah. And they're not going to be ignored.
Yeah. And it was hilarious to see the other women commenting on posts like, well, I don't understand why they're marching, or I think we have all the same rights as all men do. And I was like, okay, that's why you're not marching. So shut up.
Yeah. If you don't understand why they're marching, ask.
Yeah.
And I will say that about every, if you don't understand why people are upset about something, and I posted something about this on Facebook last week. First of all, if you're going to go out and protest, if you're going to take a stand on something, please, for the love of God, know what it is and know why you're doing it so that you can articulate it, because it would be really great if the people who go, I don't know why you're doing this, could come to you and go, why are you doing this? And you could give them an answer that would be engaging and provoke intelligent conversation and a back and forth. And maybe they won't agree with you, but they will come to be more likely to respect you and your viewpoint if you can articulate legitimately why you're out there. Because I saw a lot of people just yelling about how Donald Trump was this and he was that, and those all may be, but that's not why you're out there.
That's not the root reason. They had a whole list of reasons.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. The people that marched knew why they were marching.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to protest on Inauguration Day, if you're going to protest in the Women's March, or if the next march that I saw talked about on Tax Day.
Yep, Tax Day.
Yeah.
Comes out, because the president has said through spokespeople that he's not going to release his tax returns because nobody cares about them.
Yeah.
So
now
the
he's
next
being sued by there's a lawsuit that was filed today by an ethics professor.
Oh.
Come on, he's a
libtard. He's being sued.
He's a libtard.
No, he wasn't a libtard.
No,
it doesn't matter.
No, that guy was a conservative.
Right,
but that's
he worked in either the Reagan or the Bush administration, or both.
But the point remains: Donald Trump being sued, not news, not exciting. Ain't gonna bump him.
It's not gonna necessarily bump him, but just the discovery from that case could get his tax returns released.
Maybe we'll see, or it could be a big thing. Well, people are very angry all over the world, and in Minsk, in central Belarus, a 33-year-old, was very angry, and he had cleared space in the snow for his wife to park. And that's a lot of hard work. Meanwhile, another man drove into the spot and refused to move. And then he had to have his penis removed because he got into a fight. An argument broke out when the younger man took a shovel and used it to clean out the space for his wife. When he returned the shovel to the garage, another car driven by an older man who's 55 took the space that he'd cleared. The older man refused to move, and the younger man allegedly stamped on his head and groin.
Ooh.
He was rushed to the hospital where doctors were forced to remove his penis. He's still in jail. The younger man's been arrested and is facing up to 2 years in jail. Neither were named in local media reports. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, and as Christiana likes to say, this isn't real news, but it's still crazy interesting.
That is. How you go park in a space somebody just spent two hours clearing?
Hey, look at that. Space is clear. By the way, try that in Chicago sometime. You'll get a beat down, too. This isn't just happening in Minsk. This will happen anywhere you do that.
I think I would have beat him down, too.
Chris always gets upset because I get so mad when somebody parks in front of my house. I feel like such an old man, too. I'm like, man, I'm an old man because I'm upset because somebody's parked in front of my house and it's not my car.
Oh, it happens to us all the time. Yeah. It was like... Like, did you visit somebody down the street? Why didn't you park in front of their house? Why are you parked in front of my house?
And I do it every Tuesday night to somebody. Yeah. I'm such a hypocrite.
Well, yeah, because when you get home, someone's parked in front of your house.
Oh, yeah, but you don't, like the people that park in front of our house, like, it's big enough for two cars to fit in front of our house. They'll park, right in the middle.
Oh, those jerks.
Like, why are you there? Like, get in front of my house. Like, you're not even visiting us or anybody on our side of the street.
All right. Well,
thanks, Trump.
Yeah, thanks, Trump.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, Jason.
Oklahoma's definitely Tool.
Kareem.
Considering they have an EPA, a guy who sued the EPA, who's now in charge of the EPA. And they've had 7,000 earthquakes in the last year. They're Tool.
Oklahoma, not okay.
Oh, boom.
By the way, if you'd like to get hit by a tumbleweed, drive through Oklahoma. One will be along soon.
Yeah. More earthquakes in California.
Yeah, there's a lot of fracking going on there. Who knew there'd be a problem? I'm next in Cooler Tool. Twitter, Kareem.
Twitter's cool.
Jason?
I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it's Tool.
That's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
It's downfall of Western civilization.
Yeah, you know, I think if you use it properly, it can be really cool. But you know what it does? It gives tools a platform to just
be toolish
and get it out there. And finally, in Cooler Tool, snow. Jason?
Well, snow, if it stays around and we have a nice snowpack this year, it will be very cool.
Kareem?
I'm going to agree with you. Otherwise, I hate the cold, so I would say too.
Yeah, you know what? Snow is cool. I mean, you can do a lot of fun stuff in it, but don't mess with a man once you cleared his space.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Not do it. You know what you should do? You should do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Why? It helps support the show, and we need your support because it ain't free to do this. But it's free for you to listen. And so just go ahead and hit that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Doesn't cost you anything extra, and it does support the show. And we thank you in advance for doing that, and thank you if you've been doing that. All right. So there's a new thing. Called beer yoga. It's an unlikely combination, but one that's gone gangbusters across the world. I haven't seen it anywhere. But anyway, it's from Australia.
Oh, of course. That makes sense.
There's even a class at Sydney's Wayward Brewing. They want to see the trend come out in full force with the launch of beer yoga, B-I-E-R-Y-O-G-A, M-O-U-S-E. Having held weekly sessions across Berlin over the past 12 months, beer yoga has launched an Australian tour, announcing a string of dates for the beer-focused yoga classes in Melbourne and Sydney. So this is a German thing. Mm. Yeah, it's German. You come in, you do some yoga and drink some beer. It'll be okay. Each hour-long session, we'll see punters getting bendy while knocking back brews. What? With the beer and drinking incorporated into each classic yoga pose. Think sun salutations and reverse warriors interspersed with sips of your favorite ale. You know the only thing I can hear? A lot of belching and farting.
Yeah.
How can that not be it? Each session's price is priced at a budget-friendly $10. Just bring a towel or yoga mat, and you're good to go. You'll need to buy a beer at the bar separately. Aha, that's how they get you. Classes are happening throughout January and February. in Sydney and Melbourne. So so check those out if you're finding yourself down under.
Meanwhile, all the guys showed up there just to drink beer.
And watch women bend over. That's what we do because we're terrible. Yeah, but it, by the way, if you're listening in Australia, if you're from Australia, shoot me a note because I want Australian listeners. I don't know why, but I would like Aussie listeners.
Australia's awesome. That's why.
Yeah, well, they've got some crazy things going on there, and I want to be a part of it. That's what I'm saying.
I heard they like American men there.
You're married. It doesn't matter what they
like.
I
know. I'm just saying for other guys, you know, that are listening.
You know, I'm sure there's plenty of gay guys in Australia that love American men.
And women.
Crikey, I love me a good American boy.
No, sounds so funny.
Right? It's so wrong, but so right. So meanwhile, in here in Sacramento, there's been kind of a recent thing. We're talking about it between shows, and we brought it into the show. There's a local a local microbrewery, and we've got literally dozens of them around the Sacramento area. Well over 30 at this point.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere, and they're making great beer.
They're like churches in the South.
And because I don't want to get too deeply into this, I'm going to leave out which one it is because it's really not important to the conversation we're going to have. If you're here, you probably know which one I'm talking about. And if you're curious, message me and I'll let you know. But the owner of a local microbrewery got into sort of a argument on social media over the weekend. He was frustrated with all of the protests against President Trump. If you scroll back through his Facebook page, he's a proud conservative and he's got his beliefs and, you know, whatever. It's America. We're allowed to have other beliefs. His post, and I won't go too deeply into it, was taken. There was offense taken to it. It seemed dismissive of because it seemed to sort of say that it was lumping the marches all together, and the timing of it made it sound like the women's march on Saturday was full of whiny people, ingrates, and people that were rioting and breaking stuff. There was none of that going on Saturday, so he kind of got called on it. And in Sacramento, there's a lot of activism that goes on. And then you started to see people writing posts, writing reviews on their Facebook page, talking about how he has some interesting views towards women, which maybe you can take that out of it. Maybe you can't.
Yeah.
Somebody did a screen grab of an exchange between him and another person. Now, it's a screen grab. I don't know if it's real or not, but, and this is one of the reasons I'm leaving a lot of this out, what it said was his point was name one right Donald Trump has taken away from you. And the person responded with a photo of Donald Trump signing an executive order that's going to defund any organization that mentions abortion. And that's a worldwide thing. And his reply was abortion isn't a right. Abortion is murder. Again, that's a viewpoint that a lot of people hold. This man is a small business owner. Now, when the boycott started, all of a sudden this post pops up on their Facebook page talking about how he wrote something on his personal page and he's sorry that he offended people. I don't remember the entirety of the whole thing and I'm not going to get into it, but it was sort of a half-hearted apology. And I love and respect women. Just ask any women who know me was the gist of the post. That was not incredibly well received. By the way, I'm going to give some free advice to anybody who's in a crisis situation about social media. Stop posting on social media immediately. Don't engage. Stop. Don't apologize.
Stop.
Just stop doing it. It's only going to kill you because you can't. You're fighting the Hydra. You are literally fighting the Kraken that is social media. And no matter how right or wrong you might be, you do not have the skills to do so. So just stop.
Yeah. It's sad because I think that, you know, in one sense, like the thing that he said was the last part of it, time to vote all these pieces of garbage out of office. And the way that I heard and kind of read into it, or I was told, like, was
you
that
heard
it,
part of somebody the, saw part of it, and they it was a,
it was
a telephone
women, that he called women pieces of garbage, and he didn't call women pieces of garbage.
No.
He was calling politicians pieces of garbage. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's that. But here's the thing that event like that I more than anything else is the site that he got this information from that he reposted, because he posted something that somebody else had from Uncle Sam's Misguided Children, and that is a alt-right. Yeah. Very despicable, like fake site, like news, and like they the propaganda that place sputs out makes me like that's one of those things like I usually immediately unfollow that friend.
It makes
or defriend them.
Let me guess: when you read posts like that, you feel a little spasm in your anus because you're so angry that you want to poop yourself.
The
weird thing to me is I don't understand how he didn't think that his customers would be offended.
Well, he didn't. I'm not going to read into his mindset. I don't think he thought about it. I think when he was doing it, because this will happen. This happens to a lot of people on social media.
Yeah,
you state something, somebody challenges you, you get mad because someone has challenged something that you believe very deeply, whether you're right or wrong.
Right. But
then you fire back, and it becomes this back and forth where it's more important for you to be right, and you because you're getting more and more angry, and you're responding, and you're doing all this stuff, and you're not thinking, you're just angrily responding.
Right, so, but you own a brewing company, and
it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, and like, you're not, rednecks aren't your clientele.
No, not especially not the neighborhood that this brewery is in.
Yeah, well, that's my thing. It's like,
sure.
Yeah, you know.
Know your customers. Business number one.
Well, yeah. And so about 30 minutes after the first apology, his wife then went on the company's Facebook page and posted that she was his wife and she knew him and he was a good man. And I'm sure that
he probably is a good guy.
I'm sure that if you had one-on-one interaction with him, he's a fine guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would never do anything to, well, I'm not sure, but I would imagine that he would never do anything to harm a woman or do anything of that nature. I'm sure that's not really in his character, but what you're talking about is ideologies and people getting very angry about them and posting about them. So she came out and posted, and then people were like, oh, isn't it cute? He's allowing you to say what you think. I was like, stop talking.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, there's another Facebook post again, talking about, you know, and it's a picture of the two of them. Because we couldn't picture them.
Right.
By the way, why are you doing that? and it's talking, and they start talking about how they poured their life savings into this business. And at this point, I know that they are petrified that their business is going, and their life savings is going down the drain.
Yeah.
They're petrified of this. And I am always at a weird crossroads with this. Now, if you are on the weekend out physically gay bashing or doing something else that's really harming people, physically harming people, emotionally harming people, then I'm all for people going, listen, you're terrible. No. I'm also for people going, okay, now I know the business that I'm dealing with and I don't want to do business with you. The question becomes, is there any amount of sympathy or empathy for someone who got carried away in stating their beliefs in social media that it's then threatening their livelihood?
Well, you look at it, you can look at it in one way. Are you a capitalist? If you're a capitalist, then they messed up and they did the wrong thing. You know, I mean, like if you just take religion, anything good or bad, if you're a capitalist, you have to look at it and say they're going to get what they it doesn't matter. I mean, like they made a bad, poor business decision. They're sole owners, you know, or partial.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like, so if you're the face of your company, I mean, if and even on a personal post,
mm-hmm.
and if somebody finds out about it, if you're a cap, that's
why I don't like my social media. My Facebook is totally separate. Like, you don't know, like from Facebook, Twitter, you don't know where I work at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I did that for a purpose.
Sure.
Like, yeah, you know, you got people that post their, you know, their jobs and all this. Like, that's not on mine because it's two separate worlds, and I want to keep it that way.
Right. Well, people could figure it out. People, I mean, it's not that hard. So if you were to start posting, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no.
Then not the things that you post, but if you were to post something awful.
Right.
Then it would be very easy for someone to go, hey, this guy works here, blah, 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 blah. It wouldn't be that hard to figure out.
Right. But I'm saying I don't.
Sure.
I purposely don't post it that way. I mean, I purposely keep those two things separate. So if you own a business like his,
you can't separate it.
You can separate it. You could have kept your business page.
Oh.
And the people that are.
You shouldn't have tried to grow your friends list.
Yes, right.
Well, and we don't know that he did that, because he could have just been the type of person who's like, well, I'm just going to do a public post.
Right.
Because you will get people that you don't know that are friends of friends commenting on stuff. And if you happen to
that's what happened with him was they said that, you know, his is friends of friends.
Right.
Anybody can see what he posted.
Sure. But the question is, do you have any sort of empathy for the position he's in? Now, I know he put himself in it, but do you have any empathy for him and his wife, who is just along for the ride? I mean, she knows his values, though.
Yeah. I mean, I have a little bit of it. I'll take the bet. Okay. If he doesn't necessarily mean what he said, the way he said it,
right,
then I have empathy for him. But if he actually believes what he says, then where's the beep button? Go ahead and look at the thing. But if he believes what he said, what he actually posted, then f*** him.
Oh, there we go. That would be 3628.
Yeah. I have to kind of, that's my kind of feel. Like, he gets one chance to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And prove that he's not who he portrayed.
Right.
Because, unfortunately, I think that that's kind of the world that we have to live in now, in a certain way. You know, I mean, we can't let people stroll through unaccountable.
Right. But again, if you're somebody who happens to hold the same beliefs, then you're going to be drawn to that business. So it's not... Yeah. It's not a complete loss for him,
right?
But it's going to change the clientele, and it's going to be a rough thing. But ultimately, please stop talking, stop posting. And if you're going to own a business, maybe you keep your personal views about world events to yourself, or to private conversations amongst your friends, as opposed to putting them out there for the world. And I know on Facebook they're called friends.
Yeah.
And they're called friends for a reason. But a lot of the people that are on your friends list, if you're like most people, they're acquaintances. There might be people you don't know. You have a similar interest, or you're part of a group. I have friends like that on Facebook. And whenever I start to get heated up about something on Facebook, I take a step back and I try to. My goal when somebody really irritates me is to be as kind to them as possible and go, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about? And I've found that diffuses the situation pretty well. And I don't get as riled up about it. Because when you start to get really mad and you start to type stuff like that, once you hit send, it's out there. And anybody who sees it, you can delete it, but somebody can screen grab it and it's there.
Yep.
So don't social media angry.
Yeah, no.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that business over the next. And again, there's literally about three dozen microbreweries around the Sacramento area.
Yeah, like nobody will miss you too much.
There's a ton of competition, and the one thing that you have is the neighborhood that you're in. If you're in a neighborhood. Now, in West Sacramento here, there are three microbreweries. You can literally walk from one to the next, and they're all in an industrial park. So it's not like, oh, this neighborhood one is the neighborhood one. Like when Track 7 opened in Curtis Park, that was the neighborhood one.
Yeah.
And there are others that are the neighborhood ones. And if that's kind of your thing, then you better be able to appeal to the neighborhood because there's just too many other options. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but...
I don't wish any harm or bad stuff for the guy. Yeah, I mean, like, all you can hope is that they learn from their mistakes.
Can you imagine being somebody who works there? Because you know the people who work there aren't making a ton of money.
Oh, without a doubt.
And all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're like, what is going on?
Right. And he might even have some private owners. He might have some like people that have a little bit of stock in his company or
possibly
gave him some money, you know? So yeah, there could be some people that have like that, but that's also why you got to take special care. Like when you have a business, it's so like when I, with what I do with the company that I work for,
sure.
Like I would never say their name on the air and I would never put their information on my Facebook, you know? But you could probably find out who it is. That's why I can't say anything too crazy. But that's why I also speak my mind. You know, I mean, like, and I understand what my consequences might be.
Sure.
If something happens, you know, you just got to be ready. You have to understand that your words can and will have consequences.
Yeah. Well, people know where I work. You know where to find me. You know where to find me. Come on. and I mean, it's one of the reasons why.
Cash me outside.
Look, this is a comedy podcast. A lot of things are said tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
A lot of things are said in jest.
Yeah.
And a lot of things are enhanced or blown up.
Of course.
By design. This is a comedy podcast.
Yep.
You're not a comedian. Let me just say this to so many people. You're not a comedian. You're not funny. I know you're the funny person in your office. You're not funny. If you think you're funny, find an open mic and go do 5 minutes and have people stare at you for 5 minutes because you're not funny.
Yeah. Go do it for like 10 years.
Yeah. Anyway. Just go to hit three of them in a night and have and just go back to back to back and just go, man, this killed at the office.
Go take an improv class.
Take
some improv classes. Find out that you're not funny at all.
Put in the work. Put in the work to find out you're not funny.
Yeah. But just that's what it comes down
to. I mean, maybe you are. But trust me, you're probably not.
Yeah.
We still love you.
We still love you, and we laugh at your jokes because we love you.
Exactly.
Or we're laughing at your attempt at making jokes because we just feel bad for you.
You'll never know.
Right. Just hear
from
the laughter.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Oh, Florida.
Let's hear it.
A woman in northern Florida got arrested after she tried to use paper photocopies of $20 bills at a Walmart and an Applebee's.
What?
According to the Lake City Police, Brandy Harden, who's 30, went to a Walmart on January 14th and gave the cashier five of the fake bills to purchase items. That's according to the Gainesville Sun. When the Walmart employee questioned Harden, she fled the store. She ran away. And she almost got away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling kids. Well, it wasn't the meddling kids, but she was caught by police 2 days later after she used the same counterfeit money to pay for her bill at an Applebee's and left her cell phone on the table.
Oh, man.
Oops.
Police questioned Harden at a hotel where she admitted to using the fake money, and officers found more fake bills, blank paper, and a printer in her room.
Wow.
She was arrested on charges of possession of counterfeit bills. She faces additional charges of possession of marijuana and paraphernalia. What? And they found those substances on her. She would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling kids. This next thing from Florida is just, I can't even explain it, so I'll let the people at 10 News explain how a gun-shaped key almost ruined a vacation.
Take a good look at this gun. Would you be threatened if you saw it in public? But wait a minute. Let me give you a better look.
Yeah, he's zooming in on it. It's two inches long, and it's a key.
This is actually... how big it is. 2 inches. Let's see the measuring tape.
Yes. Yes, we do. It's buffering. See the measuring tape? Yes. Yes, we do. This is the least exciting TV, by the way. See the measuring tape? It's tiny. Hold on. I mean, they're killing.
In fact,
there we go.
Look even closer. Right in here. It's a key.
Yeah.
News reporter.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I'm about to swear. Anyway, that's enough of the setup. The same key that gets Henry Echeverria into his home almost kept him and his wife Lisa from boarding a Carnival cruise ship last Sunday. He pulls out my key and says, "Oh, here's the problem." Security at the Port Canaveral told Echeverria he could not board with his gun-shaped house key because it was a prohibitive item. He says, "My house key, and you can't take it on." So Henry and Lisa both work in law enforcement. So they know about security. So first of all, you can't even get your finger in the hole. If it was a gun, you could barely get a finger around the grip. They say, "I can't have it. I can't get on the boat. I either need to get rid of it or take it back or not the cruise." He let Carnival put the key in the safe so he could get it back when they returned. But he says it raises some security concerns of his own. "They have my address. They have my key. All they need to do is make a replica, and the next thing you know, they could be at my house."
Wow.
He might be overstating that someone from Carnival. I mean, technically, yes, it's possible someone from Carnival who has his address could take his gun-shaped key, go to his house while he's on a cruise, and steal all of his stuff. It's entirely possible.
It's plausible.
It's Florida.
Anything's possible in Florida.
It's true. It's like a magical land of nonsense. All right. Well, this show went a little longer than we expected, but I thought that was an interesting discussion about the Facebook melee that's going on. The lessons to be taken away: if you do something wrong, you get called on social media, stop talking.
Maybe mea culpa, and then stop talking for a long time.
Yeah, and a better mea culpa. Yeah. Do not rush into a mea culpa.
Yeah, do not.
Stop talking.
Think about what you said, and then make a heartfelt statement that's just, "I'm sorry."
Exactly.
And then maybe run that by somebody first before you just run up and post it. Go, is this good? Maybe ask somebody who's, you know, a little savvy with that stuff. You run a microbrewery, I'm sure you know somebody who's a little bit social media savvy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, boycott them if you must, but I just want everybody to be happy.
Or just go there and have a beer and talk to the guy.
That's what they're inviting people to do. Come in and have a beer and talk to them about it, if you want. Although I don't think that's the most effective thing to go, "Hey, come in and buy one of my beers and talk to me," to people who are boycotting you.
Yeah. No, maybe you should have a free beer night.
Something like that.
Yeah, come on in, get drunk, and then yell at me. Jason, you're the minister of great ideas today.
Yeah, I'll do it. Listen, I'll go in there. As the sober guy, I'll go there, and I'll make sure that we can have a peaceful conversation.
Sure, you're the guy I want controlling the crowd.
What's that supposed to mean? I can be a good judge.
Well, I'm not saying you can't be a good judge. I'm just saying if you're going to control a crowd, you better be a little bit more physically imposing.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I'll bring my gun.
It's shaped like a key. Jason's key isn't shaped like a gun. His gun's shaped like a key.
Yeah, it's a gun shaped like a key.
It'll really mess with you. You're like, "What are you going to do? Open me up?" And you're like, "Yes, I am, punk." Take that with you to the weekend. All right, everybody, have a good one. Kareem, enjoy North Carolina.
Will do.
We're back on Monday with a fresh new episode, and we've got things to complain about because that's what we do. Meantime, enjoy this wonderful song from the 70s. This is Pilot and Magic on the Nate Darling Show. Bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.